the threats that are coming in every single day, the threats that are around us, within and without. We're aware of the cultural and the moral decay in this country. And not only has it gotten to a point where we have morally decayed and become almost degenerate in the way that we present our morals as a nation, but now our schools, the place where we send our precious babies, our schools are cleverly and intentionally indoctrinating and teaching our children demonic doctrines. And it's just the facts. It's just true. And I think parents can feel it. They can see it. And I think that there are a lot of parents, maybe in here, definitely watching on this video, who you've had this uncomfortable feeling in your chest for quite some time about setting your kid on the bus and setting them off into the school system. Well, I want to encourage you today to honor that feeling. That's the Holy Spirit. That's your spiritual instincts as a mother, as a father, telling you, you are sending your child into something that is not going to be great for their souls. For their souls. Yeah, you can go to school and you can graduate and get this and that. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But I truly believe that the reason why the school system and the culture for our children in America has gotten to the place where it is right now, I think it's because the church allowed it to happen. I think we let it happen. We let it happen. And Freedom in Christ Church is one of those churches who took the call of the Lord and took the commission of the Lord and decided, you know what, we're going to join the fight. We're going to get some real skin in the game for this battle for our children's souls. We're going to fight back. We're going to do something about it. We're going to see what God can take a small church of people and do with us. We're going to actively pursue this and give these kids something. And so not only do we need the church to step up and do something and put a stand and offer an alternative for their children, but we need the church to do it right. We need the school to be a Christian school, not just in name only. So the biggest thing that I love about our school and that I'm so excited about our school is simply how we run it. How we run it, how we operate it, how we deal with the kids, our perspective, our mentality, our vision, our identity. We are 100% relationship with God. Our biggest thing that we teach the kids is to desire their own personal relationship with God. You see, the kids in the world right now, they don't have any interest to have a relationship with God, because they've gotten improper information about God. They have an incorrect understanding of who God is. That's why we don't see children flocking to the altars all across America. That's why you're not seeing any videos on your algorithms going viral of 1,000 kids getting saved at the same time and pouring their hearts out to the Lord. Because our children are stuck to their screens. They're stuck to their entertainment. They're stuck in a matrix. They're stuck in a mind trap that has been put there for them to be trapped in. So what do we do about that? What can we do for these kids? Well, we offer something different. So our biggest banner that we wave is our culture. So we train our staff every single day, and we teach our kids on this every single day. We want our environment and the culture here to be an environment that really looks like what the Garden of Eden was supposed to be. We want it to look like the kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. Where did Jesus say he put the kingdom of God? In our hearts, within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Everything that you hear me say up here, these students hear every day. Am I lying? Everything that I will say today, this is what these students get taught and the staff get taught and trained in every single day. This is all we talk about. This is all we care about. The biggest thing that we care about is making sure that first us as staff are ministers and are real spiritual people that have a relationship with God and love God. So to be a supervisor here at Freedom Christian Academy, it is not easy. It is not easy. And the standards are high. They're very high, super high. We want our staff to not only be excellent in their work ethic, in scoring and handling the children and being organized, but we want them to be legitimate light bearers. We want them to legitimately give and offer the love of Christ to these kids every day. And they think about that and they focus on it and they intentionally try to do that and apply it in their day. This is an intentional application of the heart of Christ into the classroom, into the culture. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to be about it. I don't want to be just Freedom Christian Academy in name only. This is not a religious school. This is a place where your children will come and they will taste and see that God is good. They will taste and see that His ways are good through our culture, through our environment, through our staff, through our program and how we train and how we teach and how we talk to the kids and how we love them. We can spend extra time in delicate care with each one of the children's issues. We can pull them aside and have conversations and pray for them. We want the children to see that the fruit of the Spirit is good and that they can have it. They can have love in their life. They can have joy in their life. They can have peace in their life. They can have all of these things: patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, all of these things they can have in their very own life here right now. But the students will be confused if they don't get it through a relationship with God, because maybe they don't understand that these things that I'm talking about are the fruit of the Spirit. They're not the fruit of the world, and they're not the fruit of humans. So students, as they're growing older and get into their teenage years, they start to notice a lack of joy. Anybody have a teenager? Lack of joy, right? They start to notice a lack of joy. They start to notice a lack of love. If you've ever raised a teenager, when they get to become a teenager, that's whenever they don't want to say, I love you that much no more. And they start thinking, oh, nobody loves me. Right? And they get that feeling. But I'm being silly about it, but that's a very real heavy feeling that comes on these teenagers. Teenagers start to question absolutely everything. They really do. So we're here to give them an alternate version of reality that they can experience. So when their emotions change and when their mind changes and when the storms of life come after them, they will have an anchor to hold on to, and that is a relationship with God. It's relationship with Him. So we put the heaviest emphasis on relationship with God. We don't want to shove religion down their throats. We don't want to cram it. We don't want to use the Bible as a weapon to bludgeon them and make them feel guilty and shameful whenever they've done a wrong thing. We want to use, well, what do they say? You can catch more flies with honey than you can vinegar. That's the mentality that we take with the kingdom of God. We want to have a school, an environment that shows them the kingdom of God, so that they can live in it 5 days a week and experience, and they can see what patience looks like through us. They can see what love looks like through us, and we only show it to them through Jesus. Because I don't got the same love or patience that Jesus has, but good thing I'm dead. I no longer live. It's now Christ who lives in me. So now our staff are trained that we surrender. We surrender our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own desires. Ministry is sacrifice. And these staff know this. It is sacrifice. We are not here for ourselves in any way, shape, or form. We are here to minister to these children. Ministry, 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 ministry. I believe that that's what sets our school apart. I believe that that's what makes our school the greatest kept secret in all of Franklin County, is that we are thoroughly and fully a ministry. And the entire focus of our staff is to minister God to these kids. Amen? So, who's our first person up? I have a couple of friends who I invited to come up and talk and just share with you their experience from the school and what they've seen and why you should send your child to school or why you should give financially into the school to support this ministry. So we got a couple more videos. I got a bunch of friends that are going to come up. So everybody just sit back, relax, just soak it in. And while you're hearing about our school, just be praying and asking God within yourself, God, what's my role within this body in this ministry, right? Because God has used this body right here to facilitate and operate this ministry. If you're sitting in these seats, you're a part of the body. Even if you're a pinky toe or a kneecap, you're a part of the body. And it's all important. So as you're hearing about what your brothers and sisters of your body of Christ are doing in ministry, and what this ministry is offering for these kids, be an open canvas and ask the Lord, Lord, what's my part? Is my part to give cereal to before and after care? Is my part to be a monitor and come in? Is it my part to sponsor the tuition of the student? Is it my part to give $20 a month to FCA? What's my part? Is it my part to volunteer? Is it my part to come in for praise and worship? What's my role? Is it my part to be a prayer warrior and spend 30 minutes a day specifically, intentionally praying for Freedom Christian Academy? Guys, we need to be all hands on deck. You believe in this school and you believe in what it is doing for these children, what it offers them. If you want to get in on the greatest fight of all eternity, the great fight of dark versus light, of good versus evil, we're on the right side. We are in the fight right now. And oddly enough, there's nothing more fulfilling and enjoying than being on the right side of this fight. Because you get to watch God come through over and over and over and over again. Before year one and before year two, we had a whole list of issues that we were like, how in the world are these things going to get figured out by the time? Where are we going to find the monitors? Where are we going to find the money? Where are we going to find the staff? Where are we going to find the space? How's this going to get done? Every single time, boom, 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 you blink your eyes, and in a matter of 2 days, God just, boom, sweeps in and fixes all of the problems. Both times, both years. So now we're going into the third year. Too much is given, much is required, right? We have been given a big responsibility, a huge responsibility to be the stewards of this ministry. And all of you guys are a part of it. It's not just, oh, Pastor Dane runs that school over there. No, oh, no, 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 no. All of us, we are all the body of Christ. We are all running this ministry. We are all a part of the lifeblood of this ministry. Your prayers, your time, your sacrifice, your love, you sending your kids and telling your friends, your money, your donations, all of it is equally holding up, creating, and running this ministry. So nobody in here is left out. And if you're in here and you don't feel like you've given or have given anything to the ministry, you don't have a part, pray about it. Come talk to me. We'll find you something to do. There's always something that we can do to get involved. So first up, I'm going to invite up my dear Sister Lois. Sister Lois, come on up. Sister Lois is one of our monitors. She just started this year. Last year, her granddaughter went to FCA and just could not bear the thought of her grandmother being in the same classroom as her at the same time. So respectfully, Sister Lois held off and waited until this year. And she's come in and she monitors virtually every day. She just taught a 4-week manners course in our life skills class. She has been a huge addition. Your spirit, your love, your heart, your personality. The kids see her and just go running across the room to give her a hug as soon as she walks in every single day. So I asked her to share a little bit about this ministry. You good?
Just turn it on, or do I have to hold it?
You're good. It's on and ready to go.
Can you tell I'm not used to having a microphone in my hand?
Yes.
Okay. I wrote everything down because I was afraid I'd get up here and freak out. And I thought I would just be able to read it to you if I did freak out. So bear with me because I think everything that I have to say, Pastor Dane just said. So I started out as a monitor last August. And I only agreed to come for 3 afternoons because I wasn't sure I'd be physically able to do it. And then it was about a week later, I started coming in earlier. And then I started coming every day. God makes sure that you are able to do it. I've spoken to a couple of the other monitors who agreed with me that when we walk through the door, it doesn't matter what is going on in our lives or with our bodies. As we walk through, it just seems to all fall away. You know, our focus is on the kids, and God enables us to do what we need to do. I can help the children with their math and their spelling, and I can corral them. But I have made myself a self-appointed exalter of the little brethren. Doesn't that sound nice? Exalter of the little brethren. Because of the vision of Pastor John and Pastor Dane, I get to come in every day and love on them. I get to brush their hair, things you wouldn't expect at school. I get to rub their shoulders and tell them, you can do multiplication. I get to hold their little faces and tell them, you are the best reader in this room. And they believe me. I get to dry their tears. I get to pray for them, over them, with them. I get to make them feel special. I have three children, and if you spoke to any of them, they would tell you that they are my favorite. And that's the way that we feel about the kids here. We want them all to feel like they are our favorites. I think we do a pretty good job at that, too. I get to do things that you wouldn't expect. There's one little boy that I come in, and most mornings I come up behind him. They're in their little office, and I wrap my arms around him, and I kiss the back of his neck, and he says, ew, gross. But he hugs my arms, and he leans in for the kiss. He knows it's coming. If I tried any of this in a public school, they'd toss me out. They wouldn't let this happen. But because Pastor Dane preaches and teaches and enforces the culture of love, I am able to come in every day and do this, to be an exalter of the little brethren. God knows what he was doing when he had Pastor John, when he gave him this vision. I believe this school is God-inspired, and it's God-fired, and it's God-blessed. And we're blessed here to be a blessing. I know that so many of us has so much to give. Our focus is not to grow a school, but to go get them out of the junk in the world and bring them in. Bring them in, build them up, and send them out. Yes. So I guess the question I have is, what part do each of us play in this vision? As a part of the church, we are a part of the vision. And I'm excited to see what the new year is going to bring. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Lois. Yes, thank you. That was very good, Sister Lois. And I can vouch for Sister Lois. That's one of the things that I really appreciate about her, is she comes in every day and makes it a point to give love. Give love. We teach our staff. I just went on a whole thing about this the other morning in our staff morning meeting, where I don't want our staff to come in and just have the mentality of, well, I'm doing my work and you're doing your work, and when the last bell rings, we're going home. No, I refuse. I refuse. And I will not let any staff slip into that mindset. I refuse, because that's not ministry. Ministry is constantly looking, what can I give this kid? What can I give this kid? What can I give him? What can I give him? What can I give him? What can I say to him to make him feel loved, to know God, to be more confident? What can I say to him to give peace? We're not just here just maintaining them until the day is over. We're actively giving. So I told the staff to imagine that the vibe of the room is indicated by a little meter. Pretend like they have a little meter right here and like their vision that they see. And every time the staff says something loving, says something kind, gives love, gives a compliment, gives peace, every time they actively speak or do something godly, the meter goes up and it's green. That way, if the moment comes where we do need to be stern or serious or hold firm on a consequence, maybe the vibe might go down to here, but it's not down in the red. Does that make sense? But if we're always just making it all about the all day long and just rah, 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 then it's just in the kid's mind, ding, 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 it just goes down. And then when you really need to get serious, that's when you get a big blow up and the tantrums and the crying and all of this. So we teach our staff and train them all the time. I cry over this, guys. I pour over this to make sure that that meter is up green all day long. And if here's the kicker. If the staff are not saying anything, they're just working, it slowly goes down. You know why? Because the children are still, a lot of them, run by their flesh. They're dominated by the desires of their flesh. So if they're not getting something spiritual, the flesh is slowly going to drain it out of them, right? Drain it out of them. So we pump that stuff in there all day long. We want to keep it up. Keep the vibe high. Keep the love high. And the staff are like the Wi-Fi routers that give the signal out for the classroom of the presence of God. So everything we do here is intentional ministry. It's in the training. It's in the desire. It's how we operate. Okay, next up, I would like to bring up a dear, dear friend of mine. My partner, Sister Marcia. Come on up, Sister Marcia. Sister Marcia has been monitoring for us for 2 years. She is a worker, man. She is a servant of servants. She comes in early. She does before care. And every morning, she makes me a coffee and toast with butter and cinnamon sugar. Thank you. Yeah. The other day, she even got me a waffle bread sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwich. I'm like, I can't beat this lady. She's great. Sister Marcia, while Sister Brooke has been out on maternity leave, Sister Marcia has been helping me run the first grade learning center as I'm the principal and the pastor. Inevitably, there are things which pull me in multiple different directions. So it's really, really good for me to know that I have Sister Marcia, Sister Belinda, and Sister Jeanette, wherever back there she is. She's been also my partner in the first grade room. These ladies are solid. Solid, man. I tell you what, they are consistent. Their love, their attitude, you can tell that they're in here because they know it's a ministry. And they're operating in the ministry. And they want it to be ministry. And they love it. So thank you for your sacrifice. And also, just so everybody can fully understand and the people watching on the tape, our monitors, basically our classroom assistants, teachers' aides, you could call them, they are here for free. For free. Everything they do, they're giving of their time freely. They're not getting paid financial money to come in here and do this. So if you're watching this at home, you've got to stop and ask yourself, what would be so great that it would cause somebody to get up out of their house, retired? They worked their whole entire lives, 40 years, 50 years plus, worked their whole lives, retired, and then found this and want to get up every day and still come in here for free. Why? Why? Maybe you can answer that for us. Here you go.
Love. Love for each other. Thank you, Pastor Dane. We love you, Sister and I. We love you so much. What examples you set for us. Before I get into it, I want to say it's great to be in the house of the Lord. I look forward to it all the time. I did a little redecorating, so ladies, can you forgive me, and I'll set everything back. I wanted to bring the statue up here so everyone can see, and if you ever get a chance, come up and look at it. That statue there speaks volumes to me, and I'm sure it will to you. You see the Lord looking at the children and gazing into their eyes. You would love to have been there at that time, wondering what conversation was going on between Jesus and the children. You see the arms wrapped around the children, protecting them and keeping them safe. You see the children looking up at Jesus into his eyes. And what do you see? You see safety and trust. So, the most vulnerable group of people in any culture are our children. The Lord said, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Jesus said it was better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and be cast into the sea, that he should offend or bring injury to one of my little ones. Jesus takes this very seriously because that's what he spoke. Freedom in Christ Academy is a safe haven for our children. They are loved, nurtured, and protected. They are experiencing a culture that is Christ-like. I've seen and experienced the joy of the monitor time and time again. Thank you, parents. Your children capture our hearts, giving us fond memories, which some of which I'll share with you now. There's a little guy in second grade, came over to me while I was setting up the flags, and he said, "Can I help you?" I wish you could have been there to see that actual, the culture coming alive in the church and academy. Now, that is Freedom and Christian Academy culture in action. I wish you could have experienced that. We do warm-ups for the students in the green room so they can come out and start eating. And we laugh with each other because there's one student, you never know what he's going to have in his lunchbox. And we always get excited about that. I wonder what he's going to bring today. Then there's the merit store. You think Christmas Day is exciting? Such exuberance. Your children love to shop. If not for themselves, for mom and dad. I wish you could see that too. There's so much going on in the Freedom Christian Academy. Praise and worship on Fridays is a special, special time. A great way to set the day for the staff and the children. One time I noticed a young kindergarten boy so into praise that it would not surprise me if he would not become a praise and worship leader. And I wish you all could see that young boy praise and worship. He really gets into it. Truly, I can go on and on expressing the joy as I see your little ones growing academically as well, and most important, getting to know God and understanding and promoting the culture of Freedom Christian Academy. Now, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to share with you a little bit about my journey as a monitor. It gave me such insight, not only as to what God is doing in our academy, but for me personally. There were two Bible verses that came alive to me while I'm a monitor. My grace is sufficient for you, and yes, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. These verses ministered and came alive in me as a monitor. It's amazing when we step out and grow where we are planted in a wonderful church. God shows up right along your side where you truly experience the presence and joy of the Lord. I want to reach out and say to you, when the Holy Spirit woos you and puts a desire in your heart to step out to support your church and the academy, I want to encourage you so you can also experience what God can do through you. In Isaiah 6:8, when I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Pastor Jane, Sister Anaya stood up and said, "Here we are, Lord, send us." Freedom Christian Academy was birthed a safe haven for your children. There's a beautiful, strong bond that all the monitors and the staff have as we work together. Pastor Jane and Sister Anaya don't know that I am one of their best students. I glean from you. I listen to you. You just lift us all up in the morning talking to the children. I can't express our love for both of you so much. The many seeds you plant give God glory, and your harvest will come forth. Thank you so much, everyone.
Sister Marcia, you're not allowed to make me cry. I do enough of that. Okay, thank you, Sister Marcia. She is absolutely right. There is a special bond that we are building and forming week after week, month after month, now into year after year. And it ain't easy, guys. I want you to know that any of your brothers and sisters that work in the school, like any of you have kids, you know, you don't just show up and they magically all just do what they're supposed to do. come to find out, you could tell them exactly what they're supposed to do, and they still won't do it. I know, mind-blowing, right? That's where the patience comes in. The love, the compassion, the Christ-like nature and character, right? Because where else are they getting that? The rest of the world is getting annoyed with them and tired of them and get away from me and be quiet. And where is love being given in these instances? Agape love. Genuinely. Are we actually giving something to these kids? And that's really important to Freedom Christian Academy, that we're in here intentionally ministering to the students. And as you've heard and you will hear from these monitors, it blesses them just as much as it blesses the students. And the blessing is in the selfless service. I'll say that again. The blessing comes through the selfless service of others for God. There is no sweeter place to be. There is no more fulfilling and peaceful place to be. That is the green pasture. That is the still waters. The selfless service to these children. I teach the staff that you should see these children as almost that you work at a restaurant and you're waiting their tables. You are there to serve them, to give them love, to serve to them the love of God every day. Sister Marcia, you do an amazing, amazing job of that. Okay, next up we have, I call one of our saviors of the school, Sister Deb. She is always there when you need her. Anytime somebody can't make it or a spot needs filled, she says, I'll do it. I'll wake up early and come in. I'll stay late. That's no problem. I'll do it. I'll fill in that spot. So Sister Deb came in. She started as a monitor first thing last year. And about halfway through, she transitioned into becoming the supervisor of our second through fifth graders. And Sister Deb, can I tell them what I told you in our staff evaluation? Okay. I was reading what I wrote for her staff evaluation, and she's sitting there the whole time thinking like, all right, here it comes. Here it comes. He's just giving me the old compliment sandwich. Here it comes. It was like a triple decker because I don't have a single complaint. I don't have a single issue. I don't have a single worry in the world about Sister Deb. Sister Deb is the quintessential epitome of exactly what we want our staff to be like. On all grounds, she covers every single floor, checks every single box. She is the real deal. So if your children are in Sister Deb's class, they are loved, they are taken care of, and they have an incredible person, an incredible human being as their supervisor. And anybody else watching this video, you want her to be your kid's supervisor in school. Trust me. Okay, Sister Deb, take it away. I guess you might need this, won't you? There you go.
Thanks. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. I'm going to take you on a little trip through what I see through my eyes. A little bit different what everybody else is doing, but I am going to read mine. When Pastor Dane asked if I would say a few words this morning, I prayed and asked the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to give me the words he wanted me to say. It came up in my spirit, you are more than a conqueror. And the Lord gently pointed out the words, more than. I am the supervisor for the second through fifth grade. When Pastor Dane called me about becoming a supervisor, I'm not ashamed to tell you, I was shaking in my boots. I am a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and recently retired. I had no college education, no special training to be qualified. Philippians 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just getting up in front of my church to speak is scary to me. But who God calls, he equips. And that is more than enough for me. So let me tell you a little bit about our day in Learning Center B. There are 13 wonderful kiddos in our class. Each morning we start off with chapel. Everyone gets to hear God's word from Pastor Dane. Fridays are very special to me. That is our praise and worship morning. I am very blessed to be able to see and hear all of the FCA family praising and worshiping our God. It is more than words can express. As the pace work begins, I must say the kiddos are eager to start. They work hard throughout the day. My students have an average of 6 paces to complete every day and do an average of 4 pages per pace. We have 3 more weeks in a third quarter left, and most of the Learning Center B students have 9 stars in each of their paces out of the 12 stars that are required for the year, which means the kiddos have done all their paces each day, finished them in about 2.5 weeks, did a self-test, which is a practice test, then lastly passed a pace test, which is recorded as final grade by Sister Leslie. It is an achievement that the kiddos are proud to receive. The smiles on their face tell it all. You can never get more than too many smiles. As hard as the kiddos work, they play harder. No matter if they play in groups or all together, their laughter is just more than music to my ears. If a student has an issue with something they don't understand, as a supervisor, I have the opportunity to work with them on a one-on-one basis. And when they get it, I can see it in their eyes. Isn't it wonderful how God works? God's touches are more than enough. I want to take this time to thank all the monitors who give their time and energy to FCA. You are a huge part of the kiddos' day-to-day growth. Myself and my class appreciate you as much as I know the entire school does. There is no way I could do this without you. You are loved more than you know. Thank you to my church. Thank you for your support, encouragement, prayers, and love. Please keep it up. There are never more than too many prayers. And all the students of FCA, as much as I love you all very much, nothing compares to the love you give back. I cannot think of any place I would want to be more than here. God gave you the path. God gave me this path and purpose, and I thank him every day in my chat and check time for waking me up and sending me to school. I would never have envisioned this for myself, but God knew it, and that's more than enough for me. God is very present in my life, in our school, and he is my rock. I could not do it without him, nor would I want to do it without him. God is my more than. P.S. I want to give a big shout out to Sister Renee, who brings an amazing art class every Wednesday. Its Learning Center loves it, and they love it more than any other class that we have. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.
Very good, Sister Deb. Thank you so much. I know you were nervous to do that, and I thank you for getting up here and doing that anyways, because they need to hear your perspective on what you see every single day. I think you did a really good job of that, Sister Deb. Okay, I want to keep this moving along here, so I have another video that I want to show you guys. So let's pop the second video up, please. We'll watch that, and then we'll resume.
Hello, everybody. Pastor Dane from Freedom Christian Academy. I'm here to talk to you about ACE. This is our form of curriculum that we use at Freedom Christian Academy. So ACE stands for Accelerated Christian Education. Accelerated Christian Education has been in business for decades upon decades. This is a unique curriculum, and it's different from traditional schooling. So in traditional schooling, you go into the classroom, you sit down in your desk, just like I did and you did when you were a kid, and the teacher stands up at the front of the room and gives an oral lecture or reads out of the textbook or plays a video or something of the sort. And then we have classroom projects and group projects, and we have little worksheets and homework that we can do. And as long as we do those things, then our grade will be weighted enough to where we could get maybe a 70, a 65 on the final test and still get a passing grade and move on to the next grade. I'm sure you've seen the videos, and a lot of you may have seen the statistics of how badly our children are struggling academically across the nation. Reading is down, mathematics are down, grammar is down. Children are not learning in school anymore. And we see that trend is continuing and getting worse in schools in America right now. ACE offers a much different way of schooling. And at first you might think, man, I don't know if I like that. That sounds a little bit different. You're right. It is different. We want our children to learn personal responsibility and accountability. We want them to feel the thrill of victory and success when they work really hard and they overcome an obstacle and they challenge themselves. So the way ACE works is each year, each student has to complete 12 PACEs, or packets of accelerated Christian education. One PACE is equivalent to one unit in a textbook. So 12 PACEs per year per subject. K3, K4, and kindergarten are all hands-on. All the students learn at the same time with their supervisor. Once the students get into first grade, we start moving into more independent work. They have done a brilliant job of designing their curriculum to be the teacher. They use a step-by-step building block accountability method as you go through the work to make sure that the child maintains and masters the information that they're learning. So the student will read the instructions, read the teaching material in the PACE, and then begin to try to work through the problems or answer the problems. When they reach a score strip, they go and they score their own work at the scoring table. Supervisors, of course, go behind and make sure no shenanigans is happening and all the scores are correct. And in that way, we know that that student knows the material and has mastered the material. But that temptation to not be honest, that moment where they have to be responsible to score their own work, we are seeing is boosting their character. It's boosting their integrity, and it's making them believe that they are good people and that they are honest people and that they can do the right thing even when nobody is looking. Every day, the students set daily goals for each of their subjects. We have it all extrapolated out for the whole school year, how many pages per day you need to finish in each subject to finish all 12 PACEs for the school year. The students can choose which PACE they want to work on and in what order they want to work on it. If they really don't like math and they want to do that first and get it out of the way, that's their choice. They can do that. So this method forces the student to, one, take responsibility for their own life, their own schoolwork, their own responsibilities. It forces them to be accountable for their work ethic and for the way that they choose to manage their time. And also it forces them to fire up their brains every day and get their brain working, sharpening their brain. They're using the muscles and the muscle memory in their mind to read and to understand and comprehend and use context clues and logic and common sense. We don't want to lose logic and common sense in the next generation, do we? Absolutely not. ACE's program really, really does an amazing job of just growing all of these attributes in the children. It tests their character. It challenges them. Most students who come over, they don't like it at first because they're not used to their minds and their brains working hard and reading and studying. And we have seen students who have come into us. We give them a diagnostic test when they get here to kind of gauge where they're at in each subject. We had students who had come over to us in the fourth grade, in the fifth grade, who could not read. Here we are in year two, and they are fluently reading. They are learning the material. They're passing every test with an 80%, and they feel good about it. I stand by ACE. I stand by this curriculum. I think that it instills in the children qualities and characteristics that will make for excellent husbands and fathers, excellent mothers and wives, excellent employees and leaders in their communities and their churches, role models for their communities and their families. This is what ACE's curriculum and program has to offer. And Freedom Christian Academy has partnered up with ACE to put our little touch on our culture and our environment, and our emphasis on spirituality and love and knowing God. And with the mixture of both of these things, I truly believe that Freedom Christian Academy is the best kept secret in all of Franklin County. This is where you need to send your child. We will love your child, we will take care of them, and they will benefit from all of these things that we just talked about. I look forward to seeing everybody, and we cannot wait to meet you and welcome you to the Freedom Christian Academy.
Okay. All right. Just a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. And for everybody who's listening, part of this is I kind of just want to be like an open book and share with you my philosophy on school and how we do things and why we do it. So I think that as parents right now in 2024, I think that there are some things that we really have to be real with ourselves pertaining to school in our world today. Two things. First thing is, you could hypothetically be a 4.0 student the whole way through school. You could get into Harvard. You could get a master's degree from Harvard, get the career that you wanted, go on and make all the money that you want from your career and your education, and still be lost and miserable and alone and want to end your own life. Why are our millionaires and our celebrities ending their own lives? Why is this a thing? So on the spiritual side, I understand, yes, academics is important and education is extremely important, but I also understand that the most educated man in the world could, at the same time, be the most miserable man in the world. So to have just one without the other is not really serving much of an eternal purpose. It's really just forcing our kids to do something that they probably really don't want to do for temporary gains anyways. I'm not saying that those temporary gains aren't good and that you shouldn't desire for your children to be successful. I desire my children to be successful. I'm just not putting all of my eggs into that basket. Actually, the vast majority of my eggs are in another basket. Because if we really pour into the spiritual side of things, and these children have a relationship with God and truly know Him, guess what becomes easier for them? Math, science, reading, doing things they don't want to do, controlling their emotions, controlling their flesh, being more confident in themselves, knowing that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Then we can work on the schoolwork and get it done actually more effectively. And whether they have a master's degree or a bachelor's degree or they don't go to college at all, they can still be the richest adult in the world in their soul and in their spirit. Amen? Do I have any parents agree with me on that philosophy? Okay. Now here's the other one I think we have to be really real with ourselves about. School in general, for our children, we have to understand our kids are different than us. They are different than we were as kids. They live in a different world. When you were a kid, you didn't know what an iPad was. What's a Netflix? We had YouTube. We didn't know what any of this stuff was when we were kids. Unfortunately, our children in this generation are inundated with these things. That is their crutch. It's their IV. Take your phone away from your kid today after church and tell me how it goes. Say, I'm taking your phone or I'm taking your TV. How's that going to work? Rah! Like it comes out, right? It's crazy. That they're like bonded to it almost. So we have a problem in schools. I follow a lot of different teachers on social media, and the general reports that I'm hearing, at least across the nation, are these kids now, they don't care about school. They don't want to learn. They don't care about it. Not interesting to them. Why do I have to do this stuff? And I think parents, we gotta be real with that. We gotta understand where they're coming from. Because these kids are smart enough to where they now know if they should ever stumble upon a moment in their life where they might actually need to utilize this random information that they have to pass on a test for, they could just Google it on their phone. They know that. The gig is up. They know that. They're very aware that they can do that. So now we have a whole nation full of teachers wondering, how do I motivate these technologically advanced IV to the screen hooked up kids to learn about these things, which they probably will never see in their whole entire life? And if they do randomly, they just look it up on the internet. Now are you seeing the issue of why teachers are struggling to motivate kids to care about their schoolwork, to do any of this stuff at all? Now, ironically speaking, the answer to this is not to do less studying, less reading, and less learning. Actually, if you thought that I was going that direction, it's the opposite. Because ACE is far more studying and learning and working and doing than a traditional school setting. So what we found, the Holy Spirit has really, really helped me and helped us to find the right way. So not only are teachers having problems motivating kids to learn in a traditional school setting, which is challenging enough because you got 25, 28 kids come into a room, they sit in their desk, And then the teacher stands up at the front of the room and just starts talking, kind of like I am right now. Anybody ever watch Charlie Brown when they were a kid? How did Charlie Brown's teacher sound to him when he was talking? Wah, 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 wah. That's not a joke. I don't think that's a joke. I think that actually is pretty accurate of how our teachers sound to our kids because of all those things that we have just mentioned. And so the teachers are trying to verbally teach things to kids, subjects that they don't care about. They don't want, and the school system has been designed in a way to where as long as they do the bare minimum and do the stuff in class with their friends and turn in enough homework, their grade can be weighted enough to where they can completely bomb the test and still pass and move on to the next grade. They also know that. They are aware that that is how that it works. All the kids know this. So the amount of students who are actually good students is decreasing to almost nothing. It's disappearing. So here at ACE, we have a much different approach. So how do we get students to approach their schoolwork in a way that makes them feel positive about it or want to do it or motivated to do it? Well, it's the way that we frame it. So I almost used a word that you guys wouldn't understand. I almost said, I don't cap. I don't try to mislead the children about their schoolwork. I don't do that. I'm honest with them. I frame it like this. Listen, guys. Every human being, if they wish to survive in this world and be a successful mother, father, human being, member of their neighborhood, we all have to learn how to get up in the morning and do things that we don't want to do. Don't we? We all have to learn how to do hard things. Is that not true? We all have to learn how to use our minds to think and perceive. Do you want skills such as logic and critical thinking to become extinct in your children and grandchildren's generation? We are heading in that direction. Critical thinking skills and logic are not being exercised in the minds of children. The brain is a muscle. You got to work it to make, you got to exercise it to make it grow and to work. So whereas in a traditional school setting, admittedly, I did this, so I'll just speak for myself and you can laugh in your seat knowing that you did this too. In a traditional school setting, I could just go in and sit down and pull out my 2003 Slam NBA basketball magazine and read it and look at the pictures while my teacher was talking, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I did not have to hear what the teacher said. I had found out by about the second month of ninth grade who I need to ask to help do my homework for me, who I need to sit beside to look at in the classroom, who I need to partner up with projects, do the bare minimum, get a 70 on the test maybe, and then I'm on to the next class. What did I learn? What are we actually learning? What are children actually doing at school? In ACE, they are forced to fire up that noodle. They got to fire it up every single morning. There are no days to where they can just sit and waste and run from their problems. They are forced to conquer their flesh every day and overcome. And a lot of them, some of them it's laziness, some of it is self-doubt, and they don't believe they're smart enough or they can do it. A lot of them get frustrated, they don't understand something, they get very upset. I love that because that means I can compare what I'm seeing now to the smile on your face in a couple weeks whenever you pass this test, right? And so the kids are actually feeling achieved, they're feeling smart, they feel like they did something, like they worked. Everybody knows the person who puts in the hard days of work to earn money for their family feels more fulfilled and good than the person who lays around on the couch all day and runs from the world, right? I don't want our kids to be like that. I want to raise children who are soldiers in the army of Christ. We need our children to have mental acuity. It's been theorized and conspirized as to why they don't teach cursive in school anymore. Did you guys know that they don't teach cursive in school anymore? Now, I don't know if this is true, but it really does make sense to me. Somebody said the reason why they stopped teaching cursive is for a long game they're playing where eventually they'll remove the Declaration of Independence from the internet, and the only way you can read it is you have a copy of it and it's in cursive. Why are our kids not learning cursive? Why are they all coming back 2-3 years behind in reading and English and math when we give them their diagnostic tests? Because they're not doing anything throughout the day. They're just there, skating along and going from class to class and doing your things like the rat race, kind of like our jobs in the real world as adults, right? It's the same rat race taking place, except for it's there too. Not at Freedom Christian Academy. These students are working hard. In the beginning of the year, last year, they did not like it because they had to actually think and be responsible and put pencil to paper and eyes to words and make their brain think about the words. And what does it mean? And oh, I remember that word, and that one's over here. It means this. They're actually thinking. Every question that they answer in their pace is one tiny step closer to graduation. They don't move closer to graduation unless they move closer to graduation. And that's done by doing their work. So they have to set goals every day and be accountable for themselves. They have to score their work on their own to have integrity and high character. And that's, excuse me, as the video said, we go behind them. We make sure that they're scoring it correctly so that they master material. ACE, the way that they design the teaching in the curriculum, it forces the children bit by bit, piece by piece, to master the material. They can't move on unless all of the answers in the pace are corrected. So if they get some wrong on these four or five pages, they go back to their seat. They have to get back in their pace and excavate that information, find it, pull it out, correct their answer, go up and rescore so they can move on to the next page once everything is correct. This method, over and over and over, repetition, repetition, requires them to get an 80% on the test to pass. I would say this year, 97% of all tests have been passed. I mean, everybody's passing their test this year. This program, it's working. My kids go to school here. It's working. It's creating responsible, accountable, intelligent, sharp-minded young people who set goals for themselves and achieve them. So whether or not they can Google the information they're learning, yeah, fine, we know that. Maybe you're not a history buff or a science buff. Maybe you could care less if you throw letters into math problems creating algebra. Why did they do that, by the way? Maybe that's fine. But can you still learn? Can you still sharpen your mind? Can you still learn things through having to do work that maybe you're not interested in? Or maybe it is hard? Is there still good to be gained? And can we convince the children that they can gain good from doing the hard thing that they don't want to do? We've done it. I think we've convinced them. Every single morning at chapel, we do congratulation slips. So every morning, anytime any student passes any test, we print out a congratulation slip for them, and we call them up in front of the entire school, and we call their name, and the whole school cheers real loud for them. We shout things like, "We love you! Marvelous! Perfect score!" and things like that. And the kids get these big, cheesy grins on their face. That's excitement from schoolwork. Hello! Hello? Do you know how rare that is not happening right now in schools in America for this young generation? It's happening here. I'm telling you, best kept secret in Franklin County right here. Amen? Okay, who do we got next? I'm going to try to keep this moving for you guys. Everybody's doing a really good job today. All right, Sister Leslie, your turn. Sister Leslie is filling in. Somebody couldn't come today. So I ran over in the middle of praise and worship and asked her if she could do this. And Sister Leslie, the reason why I called you up here is because nobody works as hard as you in our school. You put in long hours. You're here till 10, 11 o'clock at night some nights, making sure that everything is straight for our school. And you have a real passion for this school. And I can tell because you cry like 3 times a week about the school.
And I'm not going to cry right now.
Maybe.
Yes. So, yeah, school is totally exciting. And as Pastor Dane said earlier, when I look back over my life, I would have never imagined anything like this either for myself going forward. Even being a pastor's wife, I mean, I just did never see anything like that. But I will tell you, it's very rewarding. And so all of this is to encourage everybody that, you know, if you ever have time and you just want to come check it out, as you can see, it makes a difference in people's lives. And like he says, it is a ministry. So, I totally enjoy. I'm in the room beside Sister Anaya, and I love that because she keeps me on my toes too. I mean, and I tell her, if you ever need anything, I'm here. Just tell me, you know, give me something. I'll get it done for you because she's busy with the little ones, you know. And Sometimes she's busy with the little ones, times the next bunch of little ones. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have a great work and relationship. I love it. I love the fact that we start off every day with the Star Spangled Banner and pledge allegiance to the flag and the Bible, and they get to hear Pastor Dane. I mean, that is awesome, because I will tell you, back when I was in school, had I have been in something like that, my life would have been a whole lot better, a whole lot quicker. So it's a shame, you know, all those wasted years, but you know, I don't dwell on that. I'm just thankful that God kept me alive for this change that took place, you know, and I met my husband who, my goodness, I can't even tell you how blessed I am for that. Yeah. He's just amazing, as everybody knows, because everyone that knows my husband, I mean, he's just like that. He's awesome. And my in-laws, I mean, I'm just blessed. Our children, I mean, they're my stepchildren, and they don't mind me saying that, because there was something, you know, way back in the day where I was never to replace their mom, and I never would want to do that. But I love them as my own. I can see where we have grown over the years. There's been bumps along the way, sure. You know, anytime when you're blending a family. But I look at us now and I'm like, wow, you know, God has just done wonders in our family. And I love each and every one of them. And I'm blessed that, you know, I helped raise him. And now he's helping to raise me over here. And I'm thankful for that. I have no problem with that at all. I will submit to him in a heartbeat in this school, because the mandate that he's been given here is just awesome. And I'm telling you, it is no exaggeration. He does pour out his heart for these children. And we are praying that, I mean, God knows who needs to be here. We'll take the ones that nobody else wants. It's just like our church, you know. We'll take the ones that they feel like they have nothing to offer. Because I guarantee you one thing here, they'll get built up. And they'll be made to feel like they're special. Sister Lois, she cracks me up. If you don't know this woman, you need to get to know her. I'm starting to get to know her a lot more just by her being at the school. But that class that she teaches, I just happened to eavesdrop one day and listen in on her with Sister Deb's class, I believe it was. And she is funny. Like, she can relate down to their level. And those kids, they do. They eat it up. They love it. She might use a couple words that I might not have chose to use. They're not bad words, but the kids understand it. And they laugh, and they're funny, and she just gets right down on their level. She's good at it, and I told her that. I said, I really love that. Actually, I would like to sit in each one of her classes, but I don't have the time. So, yes, we're very blessed and thankful for all of our monitors. And like Sister Deb says, you know, she's very thankful to have all of those monitors over there, because they help her be able to get out at a normal time and not have to be here so very, very late. I know our first year last year compared to this year, night and day difference. We all spent a lot more hours here last year. But, you know, you do it and you get better and you learn more and you figure out how to get your time scheduled. And even Sister Brooke, I mean, she's been out, you know, with baby duty now. And we're looking forward to having her back. But you know what? We haven't skipped a beat. Pastor Dane just filled right on in there, and like Sister Jeanette and Sister Marcia helping him out. It has just been wonderful. Had that happened last year, we might not have been as good at it, but we're good at it this year. And I can see every year we're getting better at it and better at it. And it's God, because he helps us. And, you know, we start the day off in prayer and stuff. And so you're getting pumped up and you're getting ready. I get to greet all the children the first thing of the day, and I'm pumped up every morning. It doesn't even matter if I'm not feeling good. I'm still there because I'm like, John, you got to get me over there. He'll usually drop me off because then, you know, we go eat later, so that way there's no sense of me taking up a parking spot, and then someone else has to pull down a little further, so that's why we work it like that. But I like it like that because my man's bringing me to work. But anyways, yep. I get to greet those kids and say, good morning, how you doing? Hey, you look great today, you know. It's going to be a good Monday, you know, or happy Friday. Today's marriage story. I mean, I just get them pumped up because sometimes the little ones, the 3 and 4 year olds, they ain't so excited about coming in first thing in the morning. But if it's a merit day, I got something under my belt. I say, it's merit day, let's go. And boom, they just change right away. And they're like, oh, yeah. So then they're cool, because there are a couple of them. They like mommy to bring them in the door, but if they know it's merit day, they don't need mommy then. So it's all good, but it's a lot of fun. So Sister Judy, she cracks me up too, because, you know, Sister Judy, this was your first year, right, to come in and help? Yeah, so I'm not going to get into a whole lot about it, but I just want to say I just love the fact that she came one time and she was hooked. You know, she has a full-time job, and she's like, man, I can't wait. I'll even work over, you know, on another day just so I can be here. So that's all I'm going to say about that, but I like that. It's just, it's really, really awesome. Darren, I see you peeking around there. I just happened to think, Brother Darren, he's another one. He'll come in to do, you know, work for the sound, because if he gets a chance and he can check out the sound and try to help Sister Denise out with something. But here the other week, he was in here, and I said, hey, it's Friday. It's praise and worship day. Do you want to stay? And he says, oh, I wasn't going to. Well, you know, I guess I can. He says, I have to get my phone in case I, you know, need to go to work. I said, that's all right. I said, you go get it and stay. And he was blessed. So that was awesome. So it's just like we're planting seeds here, you know, and Pastor Dane's up there just pouring out that word to these children. And they do love it. And I remember from summer camp, they all said that was their favorite part of the day, was the praise and worship. So I'm not going to go on and on, but I just want to say, think about us, pray about us, you know, because we need it. We need to keep that energy. And I said, I'll never get old. I will never get old, because I got too much to do. And I like the picture on the brain thing. I know he's trying to tell me, get, no, I know you're not.
What's
but
the
I'm thinking, yeah,
Grammys?
You keep working and working. I know, right? So, but yeah, we love you guys. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for all the stuff that you donate in here. Thanks for all your prayers and everything. And thanks to everybody that's a part of this.
Thank you. Yeah, let's all give it up for Sister Leslie. Thank you, Sister Leslie, for all of your hard work, for all the hours you put in. I'm aware of what time it is, guys. So I just told a couple of my guys over here, they're going to, on the 17th, come back and speak on the 17th. But I'm going to let Brother Rob, and then I have one more video, then I'm going to let Sister Naya talk to you about our K-4 program, and then we will wrap up this week's service, okay? So Brother Rob, come on up. He said it's all coming from here and here.
I'm the spokesperson for Rob and Bert. Bert doesn't want to be up here. But we're blessed to be able to work at this school. We came here to church not this past October, the October before. And when we came here, you know, we fell in love with the church, and it was God's choice. Because whenever they asked for help, we were retired, we were able to help with the school, you know, and they were in need of help. So we're blessed. And I tell everybody I'm blessed and highly favored, and I have been blessed and highly favored. You know, God looks after all of us. You know, you have to look in your heart to find out where you need to be. You know, you can do a lot of things. And I always tell people, you know, they say, I don't have time. I don't have time. But you make time for what you want to do. You know, you got to do what the Lord wants you to do, not just what you want to do. And Pastor Dane, he does a super job over in, you know, over in the, yeah, the words, I can't. But, you know, he teaches those kids in the mornings. You know, they learn that it blesses my heart because I served in the military. You know, they get up there and they do the national anthem and do the pledge to the flag. You know, a lot of men died for that flag, you know, and you know, they need to show respect, and a lot of the kids do. You know, they're learning. And whenever I went to school, I did just enough to get through. But this school, you know, they have the opportunity, they have incentive to learn more. And it's a good place for your kids, you know. As Marcia said about that statue there, what did Christ tell the disciples? Bring all children unto me. You know, and that's what you're supposed to do, you know. And that's all I have to say. And I just
that was good. That was a lot, Brother Rob. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you to Brother Rob and Sister Bert. I know that you guys come in sometimes back's hurting a little bit, and it's not always easy to come in here, but they always come in. They always put a smile on their face and love the kids and help the kids out every single day. So we thank you guys. And you are just a part of this family as anybody else. And we love you equally and completely. All right, one more video, and then I promise I won't keep you here till 1 o'clock. But a lot of good stuff coming out here today. It's a whole lot to talk about, and we're going to come back on the 17th and give these others and a few other people a chance to speak as well. Do a similar type service like this on the 17th again. But first, here's our last video.
Hi, everybody. My name is Pastor Dane Pogue. I'm the children's pastor here at Freedom in Christ Church in Chambersburg, and I'm also the principal of Freedom Christian Academy. And if you have a few minutes, I just want to talk to you about a need that I truly believe that you probably have, and a lot of parents I know definitely have. So we just started a small private Christian school last year. That's our second year this year, and we are now K-3 through 12th grade. So we offer services the whole way from toddlers, the whole way up through graduating. Now, one of the reasons why we wanted to start this school, not just because the Lord told us to do it, but we recognize and we see what everybody else sees in the world right now. We see our culture and how it's falling apart. We see our society. We see how morals have gone by the wayside. We see how people that we're supposed to trust and give our children to throughout the day are teaching our children completely opposite things that we want them to know and totally different belief systems. And I think that all parents are feeling that squeeze of not being comfortable just letting their kids loose and sending them out to school every day, but also feeling like they don't have much of an option. I understand that price of private school is pretty expensive. I know it's a sacrifice and a burden to send your children to private school. So we wanted to make sure that we set our prices at an affordable price. So we charge $380 a month or $3,800 a year for the first student in a family. The next student in a family is $3,500 or $350 a month. So we are excited to have prices that allow families to be able to give private Christian schools a chance. And I know that many parents are looking for an outlet and an avenue like this. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about who we are at Freedom Christian Academy, what our strengths are. Our first strength at Freedom Christian Academy that I'm the most proud of, that I absolutely love coming in here every day, it's our focus on spirituality. When we got the commission to start this school, I felt deeply in my heart, very clearly, that I did not want to be just a Christian school in name only. I didn't want to be a school where we say Christian Academy, but the actual culture and experience of the students at school looks far more like the world. But it was really important to us to teach the children God's ways and for them to see how good His ways are and how good His wisdom is and how wonderful His word is in their lives. So the approach that we take is we do not want to shove religion down your kid's face. Religion is rigid. Religion is judgmental. Religion is based on our works and how good we think we are, based off of how many good or bad things that we think that we've done. None of those things bring us closer to God. So what we want is for all of our students to learn how to have their own personal relationship with God in their spirit, to where they know how to talk to Him and listen for His guiding and His voice in their heart. We teach these children that the kingdom of God is within them, and that we are meant to be in that kingdom and not this world around us. It is one of the most precious things to see our children during praise and worship or chat and check time, which is a special time that we have on Fridays where the children get to have a few minutes quiet where they can just talk to the Lord and lay out their issues and their problems and listen for His advice or His guidance and receive His comfort. They are genuinely reaching God. They are finding Him. They are building relationship with God. A relationship with God is the anchor that will hold them firm when the storms of life come. So every morning we come in and we have our national anthem. We pledge to the flags, American flag and Christian flag. And we also do a pledge to the Bible. And we do a commitment together, a promise a declaration for our day. And then after that, every single day, we have chapel. I've discovered that you could get straight A's in school and you could get a master's degree from Harvard University. But if you don't have a personal relationship with God and you don't know that he loves you and you don't know why you exist or why you're alive, all those straight A's and those college degrees, they amount to nothing. You can't take them with you when you're done with your time here on this earth. So we are excited to have more families come in because we know what this school is offering. And we know that what this school is offering and what we focus on, what our heart is dedicated to, is what your child really, really needs. Amen?
All right, so yes, we want to make sure that we set our prices at a point to where families can afford it, or more families maybe than could have otherwise. But also, we're not trying to get rich off of this. Like, none of this tuition money is going to send me to Cancun or Tahiti, you know? Like, it's just not the deal that's going on here. We set the tuition so low. Go on Google, type in price of private schools in Franklin County, and take a look at it. Then take a look at our prices, and then you're going to be like, what is going on over there? The craziest thing is the quality that you're getting here for the price that you're having to pay, unmatched. I know that I'm biased. I know that. I know that I'm literally supposed to be up here saying this right now. But truly, as a father, unmatched. You're not going to find that price in a combination of the quality of environment and culture that you get here anywhere else. So we wanted to set them low enough to bring people in. Also, it proves that we're not doing this for any other reason other than to get kids in here and minister God to them. Amen? So pray about it. Ask the Lord, what is any way that I can give? March is March for FCA month. So maybe reach down between your car seat and pull your quarters and your nickels out and put them in a bag and bring them in on Wednesday. Bring them in on Sunday. If you go to McDonald's and you get $7 change this weekend, swing by and throw it in the box on the way home. Just put FCA on it for it. This is going to be a big push for FCA. They're going to break ground on the building here very, very soon. We got a lot of stuff that needs to be built and paid for and ready to go so we can get these kids in here to go. As far as our morning routine, I wanted to explain to you real quick for our Bring Up Sister Anaya. We come in every single morning, and as others have said, and we said in that video, first thing we do, the national anthem. We teach the kids that freedom is taken, it's not given. It's taken from you, and it's taken for you. And I don't want our children to lose the sense or the idea of what freedom even is. I think that if a culture is in freedom for so long, if the adults don't do a good job of teaching the importance of freedom to the children generation after generation, two or three generations in, you'll have a whole group of children who don't even know what freedom is. Don't even know that they're free. So since they don't even understand it or even think about it, it can be easily taken from them. And I don't want that to happen. So when we sing the national anthem, that's our little way of helping your kids to every day take some of that freedom and hold on to it. Hold on to that freedom. Yeah, I know America doesn't look like maybe we want it to look like right now. And there's a lot of things that about America that are really hard to be proud of right now. But it is still a fact that I did not have to dodge an RPG to make my way to church today. And we all did not have to travel in an underground tunnel to meet in secrecy to have church today. Amen? We are still free as could be in this world. And so we want our children to hold on to it and to take it for themselves every day. So that's why we do the pledge. And then we also do our three rules and our commitment. Rule number one is honor God. We teach them that means always do what you know God wants you to think, say, and do. And if you're not sure what God wants you to think, say, and do, we stop, ask, listen, obey. And it's just that easy. And every time you just surrender to what God wants you to do in your heart, he'll lead you to the green pastures. Rule number two, love your neighbor. God is love. And if you don't know love, you don't know God. So we teach the children that through loving each other God's way, it helps us to understand God. It helps our human mind. When we do the spiritual act of agape love for one another, the Lord provides, the Holy Spirit does, a revelation understanding in our human mind of himself, of who he is and how he loves. So we teach that every single day. Rule number three, have an attitude of gratitude. We teach the kids, the gig is up, we know, you know now. An attitude is something that you can choose to keep or change. Sometimes attitudes just come on you in a moment and you're not ready for it. But at that point, you now have a choice. Do I keep this attitude or I change it for a better one? And rule number four is create the culture. And lastly, I wanted to do this. Do we have any FCA kids in the building right now? Raise your hand if you go to FCA. Zion, Noel, Megan, Skyla, Zane, Abel, Chloe. Can you guys come up here for me real quick?
I was literally
going to
do it.
You were?
Yeah, but it's okay. Have them do it.
You want to do it?
No, have them do it.
Okay. They don't know they're doing this. Everybody's got to do it, okay? Sophia. Yes, K3, K4 can do this too. Today I will, okay? Everybody ready? And you guys say it loud enough so they can actually hear you say the words. We're going to do our commitment, okay? Today I will. Everybody ready? Every morning we say, all right, guys, let's think about the words that we're about to say. Make these words mean something to you. Don't just go through the motions. This is a commitment. It's like you're putting this on like armor or clothes. Everybody ready? One, two, three. Today I will. Make wise choices, show God's love, and work really, 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 really hard because I am
blessed by my family, my school, and my God. I am blessed by my family, my school, and my
All right. Excellent. Good job, guys. Good job. Good job. Oh, that just gives me goosebumps all over. Did that touch your heart? Anybody that touch your heart? Okay, guys. We know the power of words, right? Every student from 3 to 18 years old says that with force and intention every day. Every day. This is the mentality, the perspective, the mindset we want them to have as they go on and do their work. And it really works. To finish off, I'm going to have Sister Anaya come up and just talk to you about our K3, K4 and kindergarten program, how it works, and what good things she's seen as being the kindergarten supervisor for the kiddos and how it affects them.
Okay. I'll try to make this quick without talking too fast because we all know I have a tendency to talk really fast. If nobody has any idea what I just said. Okay, so it is so important just to get the kids in here early. The earlier we get them in, the more that we can train them up and have them have all of these years to have everything they need to be successful in life. And when they come in here at 3 years old, they get everything. It's because of our culture and because of ACE and the Lord's presence in here that they are growing academically, they're growing spiritually, they're growing socially. With the curriculum, they're taught academics, and they're getting so good at now. In the beginning, you know, K3, K4, we could say things like, okay, put your crayon here and draw a dot to over here. And now I can say, all right, get out your yellow science and flip open your book, and you know what to do. And they can go right to work, and they know what to do it because they've had that repetition over and over and over again, and they're retaining that information. All of their social studies comes directly from the Bible. So they're taught, this is God's word. It's true. It's always true. It's never a lie, every single word of it. And through all of those Bible stories, there's concepts that we're able to teach them then to use in real life. So, for instance, we just had the safari search for our 3 and 4 year olds. And we did the Noah's Ark story out of the ACE curriculum. And then we went on our safari search. So we had our flashlights out and we were going through the gym and we were finding all these different animals. And each animal had a letter on it. So when we got back to the zoo and we put all the animals out, the letter spelled out obey. And then we were able to talk with the 3 and 4 year olds about what it means to obey and how Noah obeyed God. And then we did a little activity. All right, so if your parents say, put your toys away and you go, I don't want to, is that obeying God? And they were all like, no, that's not obeying. That's not obeying God or your parents. So we are able to relate the Bible and God's word to their everyday life. And they're able to understand that and take that with them. I think it was Brother Rob, I think one of these guys, they were saying about the children retaining the no, that's not what it was. Oh, Sugarfoots and Tootsie Pops. Ah, eagerness to learn. having the children eager to learn and wanting to learn. And last year, my kindergarten students, they blew me out of the water with being eager and wanting to learn. The ACE curriculum for these children is so fun, and they're just up and down constantly. They're sitting down a little bit, then we're up and we're doing some type of activity where we're moving and grooving and being able to use what we just learned on paper. And so they blew me away. Every day they were literally, as Pastor Dane says, frothing at the mouth. Like, what are you going to teach us next? What are you going to teach us next? And so this year, now they're in first grade, with Sister Brooke, and they're giving us a run for our money a little bit because they're just zipping through their pace work like it's nobody's business. And most of them are about ready to start second grade work. Some of them have already started second grade math in first grade, because they just had that right from the beginning. So they got that work ethic and they got that eagerness to learn. And what Pastor Dane was saying, when they get these congrats slips, they're like begging, do I have a test today? Can I take a test today? Because they want to show everyone, their family. They don't want to show their friends at school. They want to show all of their family at school. Look what I did, guys. I did this. I did it by myself. I had some help here and there, but I did all the hard work and I did it. So it's really cool to see that. And so now I'm like, man, when we get these K3, K4s from this year into kindergarten next year, and then into first grade, we better watch out. We better have a lot of work ready because they're going to be ready to go. So it's just so important to get them in here early. And I love that when we have them in here early, Sister Lois was saying, we just get to love on these kids. And it's so different. I love that I get to pick them up and hold them and snuggle them a little bit. Like, you know, I'm with the kindergarten students this year, but if Sister Chandra's out or she has to go do something, I come in and I help her get them up from naps. And, you know, it's not just like a, hey, wake up, get your shoes on. It's time to go. I can tickle their little feet and they jump on me and they hug me and we get to have that love with them. And it's just like no other. Every morning I look over and I see Zion snuggling with Sister Deb during chapel, just head laid on her shoulder. And she's just loving on him. That's the perfect way for him to start his day. You know, he needs a little extra love when he's tired. And kids, just they're just not able to have that at school. So it's a really special thing that they're able to have here. And the sooner you can get them in here for the K3, K4, the better. And they're just learning at a rate that is incredible.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Anaya. Yes, absolutely. The K3, K4 program, Sister Chandra's done an amazing job. She took on quite an undertaking for her first year ever doing something like that and just jumping in both feet in the first day and just taking that whole thing on herself. She's done an amazing job. We're very proud of her. Very happy that she's here with us and a part of our team. The little ones, they love it. The K3, K4 kiddos, they love coming here. This is family to them. They're excited to be here. I get hugged a million times. If I'm busy, I got to get something done. If I see the K3s in the gym, I'm like, oh. I got to like sneak around them. Otherwise, I'm getting ambushed and I won't make it to my meeting on time. It's just love everywhere in this school, guys. Yes. Yes, and our K3, K4 students, now at the beginning of the year, it wasn't so, but now they sit through all of chapel every morning. We're talking 3-year-olds, guys, and 4-year-olds. They sit on their chair. They sing the national anthem. They do the pledges. They have them all memorized. 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, all the words, they have them all memorized. They sit for chapel message every morning and praise and worship, lifted hands up, singing their hearts out. They are a part of the family. The older kids can mentor them and kind of fawn over them, build relationships with them. I don't know. I'm just gushing over our school because it's so unique and it's so one of one. And what we're offering, I think, is exactly what this generation of kids needs. Amen? Yes. Oh, here you go.
Sorry, just on that note about them sitting in at chapel, the 3- and 4-year-olds, they know where to go when something's wrong. They know to go to God because every time he asks if there's any prayer requests or anything like that, every single hands up, they're praying for their cat, their hamster, their dog. They're praying for anything that they could think of. Their neighbors, they know exactly where to go. And that is so important for them. They're sick, you know, they pray for each other. They know to pray for their supervisor. They lay hands on and pray for each other. So I just wanted to bring that up to you because that's so important that they are learning that so young and they know exactly where to go when life throws you a mountain. They know that nothing is too big for God, and they boldly will say in front of everyone, let's bring it to God. Can we pray for this?
Amen. Yep, that's very true. And that's just a part of the culture that's growing here. Sister Chandra just told us a story the other day. My little boy, Abel, he was upset in class, and one of the other little girls in the class, Sister Chandra, looked over, had noticed Abel was upset and stopped what she was doing and walked over and was rubbing him on the back and praying for him, that the Lord would help him to calm down and be happy, and it's okay, it's okay. They're learning this at a young age, and they're seeing it, and that's the right age to get them in because you're building habits and personalities and characteristics of these kids. They will pray for each other. They will worship with each other, encourage each other, and remind each other of God's word. I mean, we're really doing it here, guys. If we're going to, I just told our team this the other day, if we're going to see this through, we need to bring the goods. We need to be all hands on deck, and we need to be real. We need to bring the real, authentic anointing and presence of God to school every day. Because if we try to do it in our own strength and our own might, then it's not going to work, and it'll probably fall through. The economy is not seemingly peachy right now. And so we're really walking on faith here. We really, truly are. And I can just speak for myself personally, just personally me. If something would ever to happen, hypothetically, to the school, I know that I personally could get a job and I could still eat and live, you know what I mean? I know that for myself. And so that's not what I ever worry about or have to pray about is, no, I'm going to lose this cushy job that's so fulfilling for me, or you know, I don't think about that. She said cushy. Yeah, right. But in some ways, it does feel like that to me. It doesn't feel like work. Nothing I do feels like work. But the thing that really, really, if anything keeps me up at night, it's imagining all of the faces of our students and what their school day would be like if they went to public school. What their school day would be like if we didn't exist to offer this to them. What would their life turn into? What would be introduced to them? What would be taught to them? What would kids say to them? Would they be bullied? Would they be beat up? When would drugs be introduced? When would the other stuff be introduced? Early, often, and I know that. So if anything ever keeps me up at night, it's the kids not having this, them not having it. So I'm always on 100 around here when it comes to the vision and the environment and the culture and the godliness. Because I know if we don't bring the goods, if we don't bring the anointing, and we put ourselves in the way, it's not going to work. We let God go first, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? All right, that's all I have for March for FCA, but Sister Darlene, did you have some info, Sister Darlene, on the leftover food from spaghetti dinner? Whoa. Will you be in the kitchen over on the other side? Okay, so if you'd like to buy some of that, just head over after we're done praying here and see Sister Darlene. Yes, Brother Steve? Okay, so if you'd like salad stuff, we got salad fixings as well. Okay? All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. Everybody who watched online, thank you for watching. Pray about it. Let's march for FCA this month. Let's really get those funds in, get the prayers in, ask the Lord, what's my part? What can I do? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful day, this beautiful ministry, this incredible school that you have asked us to be stewards of. Lord, we trust you completely, and I trust your work in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. I trust the body of Christ. I trust the presence of Jesus in the body of Christ. And we know that every need will be met in Jesus' name. The building will be up. The students will be in. The staff will be in. Every single need that we have, God, you are working on our behalf right now, and you are making it happen. I thank you, Father God, for helping us this week to remember to think like you. and to want what you want and treat people the way that you treat people, Lord. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you.